Joy to be back with you this afternoon. We are grateful to you for the privilege we have to visit with you, to study with you, to worship God with you. We invite everyone's attention, please, to the book of James chapter 2. I would like to study with you verses 14 through verse 26. In James' second chapter, we find a very important topic addressed, and this topic will be the title of today's lesson, and that is faith without works is dead. Now James, in James' second chapter, sets out to prove this proposition. He sets out to establish a very, very important principle that faith without works is dead. Today in our day and time, it's very common that we hear messages taught that works has nothing whatever to do with your salvation. Now I want you to know that is not true teaching. I want you to understand that works is very important for your salvation. Now, we do not need to think that we work to earn or merit our salvation. Salvation is a gift of God. Now, I'll be very frank with you. There are several verses in the scriptures that will talk about not by works. And I want to give you three or four of these so you don't think that I was oblivious to the fact these verses were there. And I'll give you a few of these for your consideration. And we'll look at them very briefly, and then I'll go to James, the second chapter. You can go to the very popular passages in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through verse 10. Go there, and I'll meet you there in a moment. And then we'll go to the book of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 5. Then we'll go to 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 and verse 9. And these are passages of the scripture that you'll see the phrase or the message, not by works. Because we have to reconcile these passages with the passage of James 2 to make the entire picture complete. So let's look briefly, please, at Ephesians 2, verse 8 through verse 10. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works." There it is, verse 9. "Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." What he said in verse 9 is very important. "Not by words, lest any man should boast." We have nothing to boast about, brag about, no reason to elevate ourselves that look what we have done, because we've been some superhero. Jesus died at Calvary for us. That is a sense of merited salvation. We don't merit salvation. We do not earn our salvation. Salvation is the gift of God. That's very clearly outlined in Scripture. And no one should argue with that. But you need to understand, the Bible will address different types of works in the Scriptures. And when that is understood, it becomes much clearer to understand this topic. Now, if you will, go with me to Titus 3 and verse 5. You'll see the very similar phrase and one that will address this point for us today. Titus 3, 5. "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." How? "By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Here it says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." What you see here, you see works contrasted to mercy. And when you see the contrast to mercy, it begins to be a little bit more clear. In Ephesians 2, you saw works contrasted to grace. "By grace you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, go with me to 2 Timothy 1, verse 89. Once more, you see the same truth taught. Now, it's very much important that if we're going to ever be able to understand and explain James 2 properly, that we have an understanding of the Ephesians 2, Titus 3, 2 Timothy 1 passages. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 8 and verse 9, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called with the holy calling," here it is, "not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." The bottom line is simply this. God saw mankind as lost. We were lost beings. Without Jesus, we would still be lost. But God allowed Jesus to come from heaven to die at Calvary to purchase the salvation for the world. That through our obedience, we can receive that grace of God. You know, Paul said, don't ever receive it in vain. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. It's really important to understand. We do not earn or merit the salvation. And in that sense, that's the type of works being considered in these first three passages we have talked about. But now, does that mean it doesn't matter what you do? I tell you what, you can always know there's a point of alarm because of an uncertain phrase that's very popular in the religious world, and I've heard it from many lips of church members, and that is something to the effect that you do good works because you're saved, not in order to be saved. Now, I want you to know I don't believe that. That's very uncertain. It's very cloudy. It's very ambiguous. Now, I tell you what now, you do good works to be saved. Now, some people may not like that, but I'll tell you what. I'm going to show you that in the Bible. It's not going to be from the 23rd chapter of my imagination. It can be from James 2 and Revelation 20, verse 12. And we really need to be clear on this because we throw wrong signals to people, we confuse and we cloud the subject matter. Now, in James 2, I'm going to spend the majority of my time now, verses 14 to 26. What I want you to look for is very interesting. First of all, I want you to look for seven questions that are mentioned here. Let's look for seven different questions that are asked. And I'll be pointing these out as we go along. Seven questions. Secondly, I want you to look for illustrations given by James to prove his point that faith without works is dead. Now, we have these 2 points, seven questions, and these illustrations. By the way, there will be 5 illustrations given by James. Now, James is a brother of our Lord. He had a pretty close contact with Jesus himself. And James is here writing a very important series of verses to prove to you and to me, faith without works is dead. He did not want people to think you're saved by faith only. He even made that point abundantly clear in the writing of James 2. Would you please note with me, and I'll show you that point right now, James 2 and verse 24. Listen now, this is the only time faith only is ever mentioned in Scripture. The only time. And the Bible says, you see then how that by works man is justified and not by faith only. Now, can you please tell me, how can I read that verse and say works has nothing to do with your salvation? How can I do that? When it said, you see then how by works a man is justified, not by faith only. I cannot, conscientiously, I cannot in any way, shape, or form read a passage like that and say works really doesn't matter. What you do doesn't matter. I can't do that because the Bible does not teach that. The Bible does teach that your faith and your works work together. That's what the Bible teaches, and I'll show you that as we go along here. We're going to know that by 7 questions, by 5 illustrations from the brother of our Lord, James himself. Verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man says he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? By itself here, did you notice? There are 2 questions here, 2 of our 7 in that verse. Look at it, James 2, 14. Sometimes we read over and we don't think about it. I want you to stop and look at every question. James 2 verse 14 has 2 of the 7 questions. The first one is, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man says he has faith and have not works? He said, what's your faith going to do for you if you don't have works? What is it going to profit you if you have faith and do not have works? His second question, can faith save him? Can faith only save him? I can have faith but have no works. Can faith save him? Can that kind of faith save him? A faith that produces no works at all? He's writing this to Christian people, as is clearly illustrated in chapter 1. So what we learn here in James chapter 2 and verse 14, we learn very clear from this question, what does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith and have not works? Can that kind of faith save him? Can faith save him? You know and I know you have to have faith to be saved. And we also know you have to have works of obedience to God's law in order to be saved. All right, stay with me now, verse 15. Here's your first illustration, by the way. Let me do it this way on the board. This might make it a little easier And if I remember to do it this way, it'll make it a little bit easier if we go along. I'm going to write down the questions, and not the questions in detail, but the verse, and then I'll write down the illustrations here. And this will help us to understand. And this is a real good way for exegetical studies of Scripture, is when you look at the Scriptures and you see repetitive teaching, you see questions that are asked, you see illustrations that are given, it helps to draw out and make a verse of Scripture or a series of verses of Scripture really come alive for you and for me. Okay, so what we have in our seven questions that we're going to be talking about, we found two questions in verse 14. Two questions in verse 14 that we just talked about. Now, and in the illustrations, we're going to find five illustrations. So let's begin now at verse 15. And the first illustration is an illustration that I'm going to simply call benevolence. Someone is needing help. And this is a passage of Scripture, verses 15 through about verse 18, that will illustrate this. So let's read it together. You read it yourself, of course. I'll read it aloud. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not the things that are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Pause. Did you see question number 3? Verse 16, what doth it profit? I'll come back to that. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, been alone. That's my title. Faith without works is dead. If you have faith without works, is dead, been alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I'll show thee my faith by my works. My friends, listen. The true faith that saves is a faith that works. Your faith is a dead faith if your faith does not work. Therefore, works are necessary to prove your faith. You cannot have faith without works and expect to be pleasing to God. Faith involves more than say, yep, he's there. Yep, he's there. I believe in Jesus. No, it takes more. It's putting your faith into action. A faith that works is an obedient faith. A faith that does not work is a non-obedient faith. Now, what we find here, I find very interesting, this benevolence. You got a brother or sister naked, destitute, daily food. They need help. They need real big help. So what happens is, and then you say to that brother, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, he said, you do not give them things that are needful to the body. What have you done? What have I done in that situation? Somebody come to me and said, I need help. I need food for my family. I need clothing. I need help. And I said, well, I sure hope you have a nice day. And God bless you. And walked out. I didn't do him one bit of good. And that is a case of somebody claiming to have faith and not having works. And he illustrated right here. He said, what does it profit? What does it profit when you've got the faith, but you do not do the good deeds, the actions, your conduct, your behavior, your works? Is not productive for the cause of Christ. Really, to ask a question illustrates the point. It accomplishes nothing. I find it very interesting. The question, verse 14, and the question, verse 16, is the same one. What does it profit? What does it profit a person to say they have faith if they do not have works? All right, let's read on now. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, been alone. That by itself is just as powerful as verse 24. Faith without works is dead, been alone. Faith alone. In verse 24, he said, you see then how by works man is justified, not by faith only. Faith alone, faith only, is not the wholesome doctrine that denominational people teaches it to be. Faith alone means by itself without anything else. We today, in order to be biblical Christians, according to the Word of God, we want to be men and women who put our faith into action. And then when you do that, faith is not alone. It is a living, working, active faith that saves. Faith alone does not save. All right, stay with me now. I like the approach you took in 18. A man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I show thee my faith by my works. All right? You tell me, I've got faith. Or let me tell you, I've got faith. You say, okay, prove it to me. I say, nope, I just got faith. I want some proof. No, I just got faith. He says, show me your faith without your works. Just go ahead and show it to me. If you don't have words, you can't prove your faith. That's the point James is making.
He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. You cannot possibly show your faith without your words. You know what that shows, don't you? That shows your works is important before God. That's what it shows. It illustrates a very valid point that the denominational world and hundreds, maybe thousands of books have been written that tells people you don't have to do anything to be saved. Works doesn't matter. And they began to talk about how, you know, belief is not a work, or repentance is not a work, or baptism is not a work. I want you to know all of those are very important for salvation. Don't let anybody ever undermine your thinking in that. Faith is very important, and so is words. They work together. Works of obedience, my friend, you cannot be saved without it. As a non-believer, as a non-Christian, or as a baptized believer, works is very important when you understand you're submitting yourself to the will of God in obedience. I call it sometimes works of obedience, but there may be a better phrase than that, but I'll assure you, putting your faith into action in this regard. Okay, now let's look at verse 19. Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. There's another illustration. The devils also believe and tremble. So now James went from a benevolent situation that we can all easily relate to going to the devil. So even the devils believe and tremble. So if faith only saves you, the devils will save. That's what the verse is teaching. But you know, that's not happened. Because, see, the devil did not put his faith into action. All right, let's look at the next verse. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You notice this is a question, don't you? That's your fourth question, verse 20. Very important. See, what we're doing here, we're understanding James from the very pen of James. From his very writing, by these questions and these illustrations, we're understanding his major premise of faith without works is dead. And I want everybody to know, you've got to put your faith into action. If you think you're going to be saved just because I believe in Jesus and he's the Son of God and you do nothing else, that faith is a dead faith and it will not accomplish you what you want eternally. All right, read on, please. Verse 21. Was not Abraham, my father, justified by works when he'd offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now, this is very important. We got to camp out right here because I have a question and an illustration in this passage. Look at it again. I know we've read it 1,000 times, but this is 1,001st time, okay? Was not Abraham our father justified by works? There's the illustration. He's mentioning Abraham in verse 21. So in verse 21, he mentions Abraham right here. Very, very important point. But it's also a question. He said, wasn't Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Therefore, in this particular question, your question number 5, he said, was not Abraham justified by works? Now, who am I to say, no, works is not important, James. You missed the boat. No, works is important. And Abraham was justified by works when? When he offered Isaac his son upon the altar. So the situation is here, in verse 21, is the Abraham and Isaac story that we've learned to grow into love through the years. He offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar. Okay, 22. See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works is faith made perfect. This is such a unique message. He said, see, that's what I'm talking about. He said, don't you see how faith wrought with his works? By works is faith made perfect. See, you can't have perfect faith without works. Your faith has to be put into action. And he says, I'm showing you Isaac, Abraham and Isaac as the illustration that will drive that point home. Okay, let's continue to read, please. And verse 23, and the scripture fulfilled itself, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, for he was called the friend of God. You know, that series of verses there, from verses 21 down through verse 23, illustrates a very, very valid set of verses and points because it tells you exactly how your faith will work. When Abraham offered Isaac his son upon the altar, it made it real, real clear he was willing to do what God asked him to do. And dear friends, the faith that saves you is the faith that's willing to say, speak, Lord, the servant heareth, command, Lord, I'll obey. That you're willing to submit your will to his will. Like Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus' attitude, I came from heaven, not do my will, but to do your will. All those type of verses should display our way of relating to God. Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. And you put your faith into action, that is your faith with your words. Because faith without works is dead. And James is making this point so solid, you don't need a whole lot of paraphrasing from old Allen, because he makes it real, real clear right here. Okay, let's look now at verse 22. By the way, go ahead and note this. Verse 22 is going to be your sixth question. All right, verse 22. See then how faith wrought with his works, and by works is faith made perfect. All right, let's continue. 23. The scripture fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God. It was imputed to him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. Well, there's a lot can be said about imputed righteousness, but today, in this context, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on that. But Abraham's called the friend of God. What an honor. Abraham's the friend of God. Like Elijah, the one who walked with God. I want us today to be those kind of people that could be illustrated, the friend of God, who walks with God through the obedience of his will. I want you to know, preaching obedience is not preaching salvation by works. Preaching obedience is preaching submission to God's will and putting your faith into action. It's very important that we understand that. I know at times it may be confusing to people, but when you understand you're never earning a merit in salvation, but you're putting your faith into action, those actions are classified in the scriptures as works. Works of obedience to God's law. Okay, read on please. In verse 24, you see then how the by works man is justified, not by faith only. I said this earlier, but I want to say it again, because this is very paramount to carrying this with you today. Faith only. Some religions have it in their creed books that faith only is a wholesome doctrine. I want you to know, faith only is not a wholesome doctrine. Faith only gets you in trouble, because faith put without works is dead, according to the Bible. So we have to get that point real clear. Verse 25, likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers of God and sent them out another way? Well, hey, we've got two things here. We've got a question and an illustration. Notice your question here. This is your question about Rahab the harlot. That's verse 25. Your illustration here is Rahab the harlot, a sexual immoral woman. And in this particular passage, it illustrates a very unique point that she was saved by her works, by putting her faith into action. How did she do that? You remember the story from back in the book of Joshua? She received the messenger of God, and she sent them out another way. If you're taking notes, it's Joshua chapter 2, Joshua 2, verse 10 and verse 11. Where she received the messenger of God, did what they asked, and then she sent them out another way. Well, now what we find here is, see, this is what James used hundreds and hundreds of years later to prove the point that faith without works is dead. Had Rahab said, yeah, I believe in God and everything's wonderful, but she had not done what they'd asked her to do, that faith would have saved her. But here it is, her faith with her works saved her. Now, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, you have the illustration from your physical body. Your physical body in verse 26. He says, the body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead. And he said, also. Now, friends, listen. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand this. James makes a point very clear here as he comes down to the final point. The body without the spirit is dead, just like faith without works is dead also. I don't want you to ever succumb to the idea that works is not important. And if people stay reading the Bible, they won't do that. Reading these books by people on these bookshelves, hundreds of thousands of books, trying to impress on your mind, nothing you can do to save yourself, nothing you can do, And many times it's very, very misleading, and people get confused with what they're reading. When I read the Bible in James 2, it makes it real clear that my works are important. All right, go with me to Revelation, the 20th chapter and verse 12. Revelation 20 and verse 12. Now, this is a great and very important passage, and one that will really make the point very clear. Revelation 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. If I'm going to be judged by my works, don't tell me my works aren't important. Look at the next verse. And the sea gave up the dead which are in it. Death and hell deliver up the dead which are in them. They were judged, every man, according to their works. Listen, they were judged according to their works. We need to protect the spiritual well-being of everybody, letting them know you're going to be judged by your works. So in one breath, you don't say, works doesn't matter. And the next breath, say, but you're going to be judged by your works. If I'm going to be judged by my works, and I'm judged according to my works in these two passages, works does matter. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Works matter. So therefore, my friends, what we learn from reading and studying in James chapter 2, we learn through the seven questions that James, the brother of our Lord, asked. We learn from five illustrations. We've learned from just one, but we could give other relating passages of how works is matters, but that's because of your faith and your words. They work together like a glove. You put your hand of faith into a work glove of works, and they work together. Faith without works is dead. Oh, many people go out here and do good works, but if they don't have faith, they're lost too. Faith and works, not faith or works. Faith and works. That's what's important. And remember, we are going to be judged by that. So the teaching of James 2 is paramount in understanding the Christian life. As this afternoon, I knew we'd have primarily, maybe all, Christian people here, baptized believers. And with this situation very clear before us, we can see how it all unfolds. This is the message that James delivers. And this is the message we need to tell people about. And there, you saw the very little paraphrasing on my part. It's very clear in Scripture. So take this and use these notes and work up your own notes where you can, because you have to be able to explain James 2 to convert many people from denominationalism. You've been a great audience this afternoon. I know you're probably tired at 2 o'clock. That's when sleep comes in and drowsiness and all that. But I thank you so much for being here and for our time together to study this morning and this afternoon. I will ask of you at this time to make sure that your life is right with the Lord. You feel good about your spiritual well-being. And I just ask you, if you are not right and ready to meet your Maker, do what Simon was told to do, repent and pray God. Do what James says, confess your faults and have prayer. We'd be glad to do that with you and for you. If you've never obeyed the gospel, oh, it's a great time to become a member of the family of God through the obedience of the gospel and baptism. Please come while we stand and while we sing.